Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. On Monday, September the 15th, thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, the Canterbury MP marks a year of being independent. Hear from the Raynham man working for free to renovate a home so a brain-damaged teenager can leave hospital. And the Gillingham boss reacts to their record-equalling win at the weekend. But first, this is our most read story on the website today. 12 weeks of lane closures are underway in preparation for a £250 million improvement of Bluebell Hill. Well, Lucy joins me now with more on this story. And Lucy, it's a very busy stretch of road, isn't it?
Yes, so this is the A229, which links Medway with Maidstone and is used by thousands of motorists every day. Now, what's being done over the next few months is surveys to gather information on the existing ground and drainage conditions of the road. And to carry out this safely, we're told staggered lane closures will need to be in place at certain times in the area. On top of that, there'll be a 40 mile per hour speed limit in place on the entire stretch of road between the Lord Lees and Cobtree roundabouts.
And tell us a bit more about the improvement scheme that's planned.
Back in January, there was a consultation to find out what people would like to see done to ease congestion in the area. A preferred project has been selected and is designed to ensure free-flowing connections between the A229 and M2. That would include a realigned connection between the Bridgewood and Lord Lees roundabouts, widening the A229 to three lanes in the Maidstone bound direction between the Lord Lees and Cobtree roundabouts, and increasing the size of the Running Horse roundabout. Entry and exit slip roads to the petrol station halfway down Bluebell Hill would also be improved. If funding and planning permission are secured, building work could start in 2029 with completion by 2031.
Thanks, Lucy, and we have got details of where and when the lane closures will be taking place within the article at Kent Online. And also, Lucy, there have been problems elsewhere on the roads today.
Yes, it's been a very frustrating time for drivers. The M20 was forced to close between junctions 7 and 8, that's Delling Hill and Leeds Castle, after roadworks overnight revealed problems with a bridge joint that needed extensive repairs before the motorway could reopen. Delays were right back to Aylesford, and vehicles were also queuing on Bluebell Hill and on the M2 at the exits that led to the M20 at Junction 2 and Junction 5.
Thanks ever so much. And there was also an issue after a lorry hit a bridge on the M25, closing the motorway between Swanley and Orpington. Now, don't forget, you can get regular travel updates by clicking on the travel page of Kent Online, where the map there refreshes every 60 seconds. And you can hear the very latest in bulletins over on our sister radio station, KMFM.
Kent Online News.
Man's been taken to hospital following reports of an attack involving a corrosive substance in Rochester. Police and paramedics were called to Ye Arrow pub in the High Street on Saturday night. It's claimed a 32-year-old had acid thrown in his face while trying to break up an argument. His injuries are not thought to be life-threatening. The family of a cyclist who was killed in a collision in Tenham 3 years ago say they still have unanswered questions. 19-year-old Cavan Scott died when he was struck in Lower Road. A 22-year-old man was jailed for 15 months after admitting perverting the course of justice and dangerous driving. He didn't face any charge relating to the death, though, due to a lack of evidence. A Dover woman's appeared in court after kicking cars and police vehicles while drunk. Officers were called when the 47-year-old was spotted on CCTV in the middle of the road near St James's Retail Park in July. She's admitted being drunk and disorderly and attempted criminal damage and has been placed on a 12-month conditional discharge. The Duchess of Kent's coffin will be taken to Westminster Cathedral later ahead of her funeral. The wife of the late Queen's cousin died last month at the age of 92. King Charles and Camilla will be among those attending tomorrow's service. Now, residents of a housing estate on Sheppey say they've been left with thousands of pounds worth of debt after getting rid of their property management firm. Firstport was removed by people living on the Queenborough Phase 1 development earlier this year. Neil Shrubsole, who's taken over as one of the directors, says they were fed up with poor service.
The communication is dreadful. Yeah, there was a lot of issues that needed resolving. We could never get hold of them. We had a manager, supposedly, that used to come here once a month that we wasn't aware of. We never see them. We'd report issues and we'd have to continually chase them to get anything done, you know, which was very frustrating. And then when we took over as directors, we also wanted a lot of financial information, you know, insurances, etc. What are we paying? You know, why are we paying $5,000 a year for our street lighting electricity? You know, we've probably got 20 LED street lights. Why are we paying $5,000? You know, and we just wasn't getting any answers. But I think one of the biggest issues was the fact we had urgent issues that needed resolving, lights that had been vandalised. You know, First Port just wasn't responding and not doing any of the urgent repairs that, you know, were required. Some of them health and safety issues that, you know, were, to us, were very important. Everyone had been complaining about First Port, and when we took over, we thought, right, let's see. So we was asking a lot of questions, asking for a lot of things to be done, asking for a lot of reports, you know, budgets, etc., what's been spent, and we was getting nowhere. And we, like Stuart, had all these different spreadsheets on repairs, what hasn't been done. It was just getting worse. It went up and up and up from the jobs that needed doing. And we'd continually chasing them. And then we just decided this, we've had enough. You know, we just don't want you anymore. And so we looked, we actually put it out to tender with just, you know, a cost. And to be fair, the costs, this wasn't really about cost saving so much as just getting a decent service, you know, at a reasonable price. So that was our main goal. And, you know, when there's an issue, we want to be able to get it resolved in a speedy fashion, not, you know, 3 months later or never, you know, and having to continually chase and chase and chase to get the works done.
The company now say they're owed around £13,000 for work they carried out. Final details of the handover are still being processed. Well, Stuart Gaylor is also one of the new directors.
Well, we went on holiday, so it wasn't great timing with the transition ending. We were informed that there was no service charge debt with the account in February. That was unfounded in the end. Works out about £12,000 to £13,000 of service charge debt, which now obviously prevents us with repair work moving forwards. We've got to prioritise and get urgent repairs or health and safety related repairs done now, as opposed to just cracking on through the estate. It wasn't a nice ending, and it'll still rumble on, I'm sure. We've got to try and obviously recoup some costs there and get the estate back to where it needs to be.
We have been in touch with First Port. They sent us this statement. It says, it's disappointing to part ways with the development, but we do everything we can to make the transition as smooth as possible. We're currently working through the handover process in line with recognised industry guidance, and this is progressing well within the required timeframe. The process involves fulfilling any outstanding obligations and reconciling the final accounts relating to our period of management. Once this process has been completed, we will confirm the final details with the residence management company and the incoming management agent. The spokesman has added that some homeowners stopped making service charges once they knew there'd be a change of management, and that they highlight the shortfall this could cause.
Kent Online reports.
A Kent man's died after being hit by a vehicle in East Sussex. Police were called to the A27 near Lewes in the early hours of Saturday. A 44-year-old from Tunbridge Wells was confirmed dead, and investigations ongoing. An Ashford woman who almost hit a child with her car while looking for a parking space has admitted drug driving. Catherine Conway was ranting about a lack of spaces at the Kent and Canterbury Hospital when the near miss happened in May. Police were called when she started swearing at members of the public and she tested positive for cannabis. The 58-year-old from Hunter Avenue in Willsborough has been fined and given a 12-month driving ban. Meantime, a Ramsgate mum who was caught drunk driving has told a court she uses cannabis to manage chronic back pain. The 33-year-old was stopped by police who noticed a strong smell coming from her car on the A2 in Dover in February. She's been fined as well and also given a 12-month driving ban. And a man's ended up in court for drink driving after being pulled over for two broken tail lights in Ashford. William Jackman Hobbs Day was found to be over the legal limit when police stopped his 4x4 on Badminster Rifle Road last month. The 22-year-old from Lyons Road in New Romney has been given a 12-month driving ban and ordered to pay more than £500. Now, next today, the MP for Canterbury says she'd love to return to the ranks of Labour, but not under the leadership of Sir Keir Starmer. It's been a year since Rosie Duffield quit the party to stand as an independent over heavy-handed management. She says a change of leadership for Labour is inevitable, and when it comes, she'll look at going back. But for the time being, she's enjoying being an independent.
I am completely free from voting for things or against things that my constituents don't agree with at all. So I got to, for example, I get a lot of letters about proportional representation. Canterbury is an academic area and a lot of people support that. So I got to vote with the Liberal Democrat debate on that. There are things that I am just free to do now and speak up against. And I've seen particularly Labour colleagues feel very, very unhappy about welfare cuts and winter fuel allowance cuts and all of the things that we did not join the Labour Party to support. And I'm free to say that and to vote accordingly. And it's great. I think it's great because I just get to see where my constituents are with an issue. And that has to be my priority, really, not just what the party that I'm with wants me to vote for. So it's been really freeing, actually.
Absolutely. Not having to toe the party line, I suppose, as you say, just being able to serve your constituents the way that they need it. Yeah,
definitely. That's the priority. And I think it'd be nice if there were more opportunities to do that instead of just sort of, you know, going along like a sheep when you know that it affects your area particularly badly. And I never did that anyway, but I can officially not do that.
Kent Online reports.
A sex offender who kissed a 14-year-old girl as she sat alone on a bench in Tunbridge Wells has been jailed. The 53-year-old was arrested after the victim messaged a friend about the attack last October. He also made inappropriate comments to another teenager in Hilbert Park. He doesn't have a permanent address and has been locked up for 15 months. A court heard how a prolific shoplifter stole from Tesco, Boots and B&M in Ashford to fund a cocaine addiction. In the last 2 months, Stephen Harden has taken food, beer, protein products and hair dryers from the stores. The 40-year-old, who also doesn't have a permanent address, has been ordered to pay compensation and complete a six-month drug rehab programme. A court heard how a Canterbury burglar stalked his mum after leaving prison, visiting her home up to six times a day. James Slingsby kept returning to the property in St Lawrence Forstall after serving a 2.5-year sentence. He was charged with stalking after his mum called the police. The 46-year-old, who doesn't have a permanent home, has admitted the offence and will be sentenced later this month. East Kent Hospitals has been named as one of 14 trusts being examined as part of a national investigation into failures in maternity and neonatal services. It follows various independent reviews across the country which have raised concerns about systemic problems for mothers and babies. Baroness Amos has been chosen to lead the investigation and is promising to put bereaved families at the heart of the work to drive improvements. Now, a Rainham man has stepped in to help renovate the home of a 16-year-old girl who was left brain damaged after collapsing at a park in Ashford. Ruby Boyton now has severe complex disabilities after suffering a cardiac arrest at Bridgefield Park in May last year. Plasterer Dan Bolch is giving his time and expertise free of charge to help adapt her family home for when she's ready to be discharged from hospital. Dan has been chatting to Kate.
It's the third project that I've done like this with similar families, but I've never met Ruby or her family before this project. We helped out on a project last year for Jack Dolan. Some people might recognise the name. He drowned in Margate. I got involved in that, and his mum, Lisa, shared Ruby's story on Facebook, and I reached out to her family from that.
And what was it about her story that made you think, I need to help, I need to be involved?
I've got kids myself, so I can't imagine what they're going through or what they feel like or the amount of pressure they're under. And I see they're fundraising continuously, trying to raise funds to do the extension or to get bits they need for Ruby. And they're doing it every weekend and during the week, where if someone can donate some time or some materials just to take that stress off them, then why not?
So can you tell me a little bit about the work that needs to be done, about what Ruby needs to be able to come home?
Yeah, so the family home wasn't suitable for Ruby, so they've built a purpose-built extension on the side which will have ramp access so she can be wheeled in on a wheelchair. The extension will be able to cater for a full-time carer. It's got a wet room, so it'll have a hoist system to take her from the bed into the wet room, and there's going to be a patio area outside so she can obviously go outside in the nicer weather. We're also putting in some pocket doors so she can go through to the family living room as well, so she's not segregated, if that's
sounds,
the right
word. Yeah, it sounds like a huge, huge job. Are you doing it yourself, or you've got people, you know, other builders, other companies on board helping you out?
Yeah, the support's been quite vast. Some of it was funded through Ruby's parents' fundraising in the beginning, and then I took over sort of getting help in and asking trades to step in and phoning up suppliers, emailing, putting shout outs on social media. Most of it since I've been involved has been through donations and volunteers. So
now, this work that you're doing for Ruby, are you fitting this in all around your, I'm assuming you've got other work on as well? Are you just fitting it around your day-to-day schedule?
Yeah, so I want to do this sort of stuff full-time. So I'm trying to build up to do it, trying to build up a big enough following so I can get paid off of social media to obviously pay my wage. But yeah, at the moment I'm working around other jobs, so I'll be popping there during the evenings to see if there's anything else that we need to get done. Or a couple of weeks ago I took all week off and was down there all week. And we've been down there several times helping out.
And the family have started a GoFundMe to help pay for Ruby's care.
Kent Online News.
A school in Chatham's going to be closed today and tomorrow following a fire. Crews were called to tackle a blaze in the canteen at Fort Pitt Girls Grammar in the early hours of yesterday. It's thought to have been caused by an electrical fault. In an email to parents, school bosses say smoke spread, requiring the site to close for ventilation and cleaning. Developers are being urged to spruce up an office block in Canterbury, which has been empty for 2 years. The former BT call centre building Beckett House dates back to the 1930s. Plans to convert the block into flats have stalled and the site's been left boarded up and covered with weeds. And finally, it's not often we mention another podcast on this episode, but the host of the popular The Rest is History podcast has described One High Street in Kent as the most historic road in England. Tom Holland has been chatting about Chatham High Street in a special episode. He's also been speaking to our reporter D. Lukasic.
I was blown away by what amazing legacies of Chatham's past there were, and how little known and how little visited they seemed to be. And I thought of all the places I'd been in Britain, the disjunction between the incredible wealth of things to see and the fascination of the past, and the fact that there didn't really seem to be a tourist infrastructure for it at all, was the broadest. And so I remembered thinking that this, I mean, I call Chatham High Street for ease. It's not really Chatham High. I mean, it's not just Chatham High Street. It's also intra Chatham and Rochester High Street. The road that leads from Rochester Bridge to Chatham, it struck me was perhaps the most historic road in the whole of England. And if you want a sense of England's history, there is no better road to walk than that road. Because if you include Rochester High Street, you have a Roman bridge, you have a Norman castle, you have a cathedral, you have Charles II staying in Rochester, you have Dickens, you have just on intra Chatham and Chatham High Street, you have the medieval chapel. You have a synagogue. You have the almshouses founded by John Hawkins, renovated in the 18th century, opened again by the Queen Mother. You have a pub, pubs. You have Britain's oldest gay pub. You have a pub that Nelson went to. Just kind of astonishing social history. And then if you slightly cheat, which we do, and you veer off and you go up to the dockyards, is one of the birthplaces of not just modern Britain, but of the modern world.
Kent Online Sport.
Football first up, and Gillingham have equalled their club record of 20 games unbeaten. They secured a 1-0 victory over Notts County at Priestfield on Saturday, thanks to a goal from Josh Andrews. Manager Gareth Ainsworth says he's really proud of his team.
To equal that record, you know, we didn't really speak about it. Nobody spoke about it in a week, but that's some feat for these players, this group of boys, you know. 130 years of Gillingham history, and, you know, to go and equal the longest ever unbeaten run, fair play to the players, fair play to the fans and the staff around me. They've been brilliant. They deserve that record without a shadow of a doubt, and so proud of them today. That was a real team performance. I'm really hoping everyone sees the grit, the running, the tackling, the headers that each other is there for. You know, these players are there for each other. Okay, we play some quality moves and there's some good football out there, but that stuff that you can't buy, you know, is brilliant. You know, you can always play good ability football and good passes and things like that, but some of the absolute, you're not scoring against us today. We are going to chuck our bodies on the line. We are doing everything possible. What a team. Really, really proud of these today. And everybody. We had some knocks in the week. You know, we lost Armani, we lost Ethan, we lost Nelson, three midfielders in a week. Gareth obviously can't play. So we could have easily gone, things were against us. They went the other way. And they went, we'll show the world that we can still do it. And what a great performance. Really, really proud of these boys. And absolutely buzzing for them because they're such a good, great bunch of boys. Really, really good. We've got some problems coming up with team selection, I'm telling you, because they're all playing out their skin. But, you know, to keep this run going and to be still collecting points and keeping this train rolling is really, really, really good.
And goal scorer Josh Andrews also spoke to the club's media rep after the match.
It was early second half. I can't remember how the play built up, but Hutz has got it on the right-hand side. He's stuck in one of the lovely balls that he does, and yeah, I've caught it sweet with the head, and yeah, it's gone in, thankfully. When I actually headed it, I didn't watch it go in, I knew straight away, and I sort of wheeled off a little bit, and I've been grabbed by Nev straight away, so I knew it was in, at least in the crowd went wild, so yeah, it was a good moment.
How much are you enjoying your football right now? Obviously, you had injury issues, and touch wood, the worst of those are behind you, but how much are you enjoying, really just enjoying playing again?
Yeah, I mean, easily I'd say the most enjoyable period of my career so far at the start of this season. You know, I'd say not just for me though, it's for I feel like most of the lads in the dressing room, it's the best group of lads that I've been with. We all run through brick walls for each other, and the vibe in the changing room is just magnificent, so I can't ask for more.
And that shows on the pitch, not just today, but since Gareth's been here, we're still unbeaten under him. Yeah. And those attributes you've just said, they transfer from the dressing room out onto the pitch.
Yeah, I mean, is it 20 games unbeaten?
Yeah, 20.
You don't do that unless everyone is pulling their weight and everyone is working for each other. And, you know, not everything goes right. Last week against Bromley, you find yourself 2-0 down and everyone works just as hard as they can to fight back and claw back, and that takes a full team effort, and everyone is required to pull their weight and then pull your mate as well if he's not doing his job on that day.
The Gills are now tied on points with Swindon Town at the top of the League Two table. Elsewhere, Kent sprinter Dina Asher-Smith has finished eighth in the final of the 100 metres at the World Athletics Championships. The 29-year-old from Bromley will also be taking part in the 200 metres in Tokyo later this week. Over the weekend, Sittingbourne's Cam Corbishley competed in the 35-kilometre race walk, finishing 34th overall. On to cricket, and Kent are taking on Leicestershire in the County Championship. It's their second-to-last game of the season. Kent are currently bottom of the Division 2 table. A play is taking place in Leicester. Meantime, the boss of Kent Cricket has revealed plans to redevelop their historic home ground. A 140-room hotel and corporate facilities could be built at the Spitfire Ground St Lawrence. And we shall find out this week if new paddle tennis courts are going to be built in Maidstone. Plans for land at Coronation Square behind Lock Meadow are being considered. The sport is a mix of tennis and squash, Luton has become really popular. Recent analysis found that the town needs 12 courts to meet current demand. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the site, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.